bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 62, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The man that fears the Lord, God's way shall understand. His soul shall ever dwell at ease. His children rule the land. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 62.
God's holy and precious word from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 14, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, the first 25 verses. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, albeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and are come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Thus far, we will now turn to the form of the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126 of your back of your Psalter, and read the beginning of that portion of that administration. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. Since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism has come in the place of circumcision. Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are, in duty bound, further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or cause or help them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Nordegraff? Father and Mother Sinke? Father and Mother Vandenbosch? Dear parents, your children know nothing of what is happening in this hour, what happens today. They are brought by the Lord's goodness and in the Lord's providence under His word, all taking place outside of their will, outside of their desire, outside of their knowledge, all in the Lord's decree. And so we see that the salvation of God's people, that does not begin with them, but the salvation of God's people begins with Him. When they are lying dead in their sins and in their trespasses, the salvation of the church becomes evident in them, within them. That is the Lord's work. When the Lord will save His people, then He begins, and His work that becomes evident with certain marks within them. And what will be one of those marks that will be found in His people, in every one of them, that will be the desire, the need, that they may be washed from all of their sins. There is not one of the true church in whom that need and desire will not be worked by the Lord and will not be made manifest in the Lord's time. Our form says, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Witnesseth and sealeth, they are not exactly the same thing. A witness or a sign, a witness speaks the truth. Thus a witness, when it witnesseth to us, it is God who is witnessing the truth of His salvation unto His people. He witnesses that with a sign, with water today. But it is not only a witness, it is also a seal. Where do we see that? What does a seal have to do with? That is the application. And thus the water is placed on the head of your child. That is speaking about the application of the work of the Lord. That is speaking about the seal, who is then spiritually sealed in baptism. Not every child, not every person that is baptized. You will tell me the answer, that is only the elect. Only the elect. So you say the Lord limits it. That is right. But that doesn't matter. Why does it not matter? Because no one else besides those elect will desire this blessing. Who besides the elect will desire to be washed from all their sins? We want to be received into glory, but we do not all want to be washed. We do not all want to be renewed. We do not all want to be truly delivered from our sins. Thus, it is the elect who are sealed. And now what a precious thing. If somebody comes in their life to desire and to need, to say, "Oh Lord, that thou wouldest wash me from all mine iniquity." And then to have a witness and a seal from the Lord, that I wash you from your iniquities. When that desire and that seal, they go together, oh, then that faith may receive that seal to the great comfort of the soul of God's people. And now you have just promised, as it says in our form. It says that parents are in duty bound to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. Why? Because that instruction, when you may instruct your children herein, in the need for that sign, that witness, and for that seal, that is now the means that the Lord is using, that they may come to the knowledge of their sin, or that you might see that in your children. That you may see a child, a little child. There was a man, he told me that. He was only 5 years old, and he was playing with his trucks on the floor, and he was an old, old man when he told me. That he could remember that in his youth, 5 years old, playing with his trucks. And then the Lord showed to him what sin was already at that young age. They are not too young. For the Lord to show them that, and that they may receive that desire for the remission, for the washing of their sins, and that they may receive the benefit. The benefit, the hope, and the expectation of the promise of the Lord that is in holy baptism. May the Lord remember you so with your children. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 89, stanzas 1 and 2. And after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and to sing Psalter 425. Stanza 5, so 89, 1 and 2. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. And the second of 89. Tedi Amara, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Levi Hayden, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Cody Hank, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents for the labors that thou hast placed upon them. When thou hast gifted them with a soul to care for in this world, for a short time, a task which from on human shoulders is too heavy to bear. But, Lord, wilt thou give them a cry in their need to thee, that they could not take one step without thee, and that they may need in their own hearts that which their children need, that they could not live, and that they could not die without thy blessing. Remember also grandparents and great-grandparents. Wilt thou give them a gladness in their heart, but give them also a cry for their seed, for the generations to come, for their life also quickly passes away, and one generation passes away and another generation cometh. But to see thy work is the desire of thy people, that it may continue in the midst of thy church and in the midst of the generations that are following, and that we might see a godly seed, and that thy name may be magnified in the hearts of our own children and grandchildren and loved ones. Oh, look upon us, Lord, as a congregation, that these matters may be in the foreground in our hearts, in our lives, in our conversation. For there is so much in this world to distract us from that one thing that is needful. Oh, bind those matters upon our hearts. Show unto us what our sin is. Make us guilty in thy most holy sight. Oh, that we might learn to smite upon our breast and cry to thee, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and that it may be experienced by both young and old together, and that our sin may become our own grief, and that thy dear Son may become our treasure. Oh, that he may become precious unto us by the revelations of thy most holy Spirit. Lord, come in the days also that we live in, that it may not be told only as a work which thou hast done unto our fathers, but that it may come out also of our own mouths, and sometimes those who may say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, I cried unto him, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my troubles. Oh, Lord, reveal thyself as the Savior, as the Redeemer of thy own people, and from that awful sin that we have brought upon ourselves in paradise and continue to this very moment. Wilt thou remember then the congregation be with thy people? Oh, give them also a gladness under the sacrament also, that faith may also be given in exercise to hope in thy promise, which thou wilt surely fulfill, that thou wilt continue thy own work, for thou knowest them that are thine. Bless us, O Lord, as a congregation in thy mercy. Help each one in all the needs of this life, all thou hast. Open the hearts of the congregation so abundantly to give from all that thou hast given unto them. All thou hast given hearts of love. O Lord, we may humbly acknowledge thee for all thy great goodness bestowed upon us, but could it please thee also to work amongst us, that thou wouldest unite us all around thy truth and include us in it who do not deserve it from our side. Remember us in this hour. Give us help and strength from above. Give us wisdom. Give us thy spirit. Give us desire and the fulfillment thereof, that the meek might eat and be satisfied. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 57, all the stanzas. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundation has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 57. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And thereof the 20th verse, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So far, the words of our text. Paul's admonition concerning maturity. First, the maturity of malice. And second, the maturity of understanding. Paul's admonition concerning maturity. First, the maturity of malice. Second, the maturity of understanding. Brethren, that is what? That is the address. Does not address his natural brethren, his natural brothers, but he speaks about spiritual brethren. Are we also spiritual brethren? The Lord has one family. The Lord has one house. He is the father of all of his own children, and those children are his children, and they are to one another brethren. And Paul admonishes his brethren. Do we admonish also our brethren? That is our obligation. An obligation given unto us from the Lord himself, given unto the children of the Lord by their own Father, because an admonishment that is profitable for a family to preserve a family. A reproof, Solomon says, entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Thus the Lord admonishes his own people. But when the Lord admonishes his people and is honest with his people, then he also reminds them of their relationship. He says, brethren. Thus he says, there is one Lord, one faith, there is one baptism, there is one hope, there is one expectation of that church of God. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Why does the Apostle Paul say this? What is the context? There is a problem in the church in Corinth. And what is that? Well, we have heard about it. Has been read to us. It has to do with gifts, spiritual gifts. Gifts we know are a great blessing, and especially spiritual gifts. What a great blessing from the Lord. What are those gifts that the Lord has given to some in that Corinthian church? We have read here that they are the gifts of tongues, thus the speaking in tongues. What is that? You know where that is, children, in the Word of God. You read about tongues on the day of Pentecost, right? And what was the purpose of speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost? That was a special gift from heaven. We cannot just do that. No, the Lord gave that gift on Pentecost. Why? Then he showed that his word that was going to go out not only unto the Jewish people, but that word that was going to go out to all the nations of the world, that was going to be the field of the apostles in their mission work. Because the Lord was going to draw unto him his people from all corners of the earth. And so the Lord gave that blessing that they may speak in tongues. And why? In order that they may understand what they did not otherwise could not understand. That's a great gift and a great blessing from the Lord. And now that gift continued for some time in that New Testament church, because the Lord gave to certain persons among his church the ability to do this, to speak in tongues, and that people, strangers, foreigners, may be able to understand. So that Babel, that confusion in tongues that has made it so that people could not understand one another and has confused all their labors, that would now stand in the way of bringing of that word of God to all the nations in the world, and the Lord can take that away in just a moment. The highest obstacles that do stand in our way, the Lord is able in one moment to completely remove. Do you believe that? Paul acknowledges this gift. It is a sign, he says, to unbelievers. They see the miracle, that only God can do such a miracle and a very useful sign, and that per people who have never heard that word, they may come to understand. He acknowledges this. But he says in the Corinthian church, you are misusing it. You are misusing it. Why? Because they were men who were given that gift. And they were lifted up in pride. With that spiritual gift, is that not an awful thing? That the Lord can give unto his people and unto his church a sign of his own work, power, the divine power, such a useful gift, and that men would abuse it for their own glory, that they are able to speak in another tongue, and then using that glory with that gift that the Lord has given them, actually to stand in the way of the propagation of the word of the Lord. Thus, in Corinth, then there was no need at that moment for those gifts. There was no need in that moment. There was no one that needed to be spoken to in another language. Thus, just to speak in that language was nothing more to that people than a curse. Then it was being used for just the opposite purpose. It was now standing in the way of that word of God. And thus Paul, he says that the speaking in foreign languages, that gift, he says that is not always a blessing. No, sometimes he says even those foreign languages, they are a curse. The Lord uses them as a punishment. And he quotes the prophet Isaiah there in the next verse. Not directly, but he says what Isaiah says. And what was that in the time of Isaiah? Well, the people of Israel, they did not fear the Lord. The Lord's people, his own people, they have gone to serve idols. The Lord gave them his commandments and they left him. And then Judah, we know they have stayed closer. And yet, the Lord says that my people of Judah, that you are also following that example of the children of Israel. And so that the Lord sent against his people a nation of a strange language. So that the people that took them captives were people that they could not even understand. But that was not all. No, the Lord threatens the children of Israel. He threatens actually to be to the children of Israel as one that they will not even be able to understand. He threatens them as a punishment, that he will speak to them as it were in a strange language. He says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. Thus he says, I will use it as a a judgment. And why? Why? Because his people did not understand the words which the Lord spake to them very, very plainly. He says, precept must be upon precept, line upon line. He says, I have given it to you even as a little child. And you will not hear. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Be not puffed up with your gifts of tongues. Because you turn then that gift of the Lord into a curse. Now it is standing in the way. Now the people cannot understand. And you make it yourself into a curse, the gift of God. You turn it exactly to a wrong purpose, and that is only for yourselves and only for the sin of your heart. What does it make you? It makes you children in understanding. Be not children in understanding. Superstitiously puffed up with the gifts of the Lord, spiritual gifts, and then at the same time depriving yourself and other people of the thing that is actually the very most important, that they may be able to understand. But you say, the Lord says we should be as a little child. That is what we read the Lord Jesus says. Right, young people? He says, if you do not become even as a little child, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And now he says, be not children. Oh, that is true. Paul sees that argument coming. That they will say to him, he says, be not children. They will say, well, the Lord Jesus says, we must be as a child. He says, yes, in certain things, then you must be as a child. Howbeit, he says, in malice be ye children. Thus, it is not good to be in a child in every respect, to be as a child. But there are certain respects that we need to be just as a little child. We must distinguish. Thus, in malice be ye children. What is malice? Malice. That is ill will to our neighbor. Malignity in our heart toward our neighbor. Just as if we desired our neighbor hurt. That we desired our neighbor harm, an evil disposition in our heart toward our neighbor. That was flourishing in that Corinthian church. What is that? An evil disposition in our heart toward our neighbor. If you will take, the Lord Jesus spoke about both tables of the law of God. The first table that speaks of boys and girls' love to God. And the second table that speaks about love to our neighbor. And thus that whole second table, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on. That whole second table, the Lord gives one sum of that second table. He says that is now love to your neighbor. And then Paul now speaks about malice. Malice in our heart toward our neighbor that is against every one of the commandments of that second table of the law, that whole sum of the law. Thus we can have so much religion outwardly, and we have malice in our heart, then we are sinning against that whole law of God. Malice, flourishing. Contentions. We read that in the book of Corinthians. Contentions in that church in Corinth about ministers. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. About the poverty of Paul's words. We can read that because Paul apparently he had not so nice a speech, perhaps. We read about contentions about women wearing head coverings. The apostle says, we have no such custom, that is to have contentions about these things. Contentions about eating meat offered unto idols. And then we read contentions now here also about spiritual gifts, the one over the other. Like arguing, as the disciples said, who of us is now the greatest? And now contentions, what do they provoke? Well, they provoke malice, ill will in our heart, that lives in our heart, all of our hearts, in your heart, in my heart. We are born with that. Malice in our heart. Do you ever feel that? We don't need so much to provoke that malice in our heart. And what will do it? Contentions. They will provoke that evil that is living in our heart. In malice, be ye children. What does Paul say? Here is now a matter that you must be even as a little child, that malice may be forever in your heart immature, that it may never come to maturity, that it may never be developed within your heart. Are children innocent? Oh, you say children, an innocent child. Oh, wait a moment. We are conceived and born in sin. Are we not? So is a child innocent? No, child is not innocent. He is born with guilt. And the guilt of his own sin that will begin to come out more and more very quickly. You'll see that in your children, fathers and mothers, that they are from their youth, they are not innocent. But Paul is making here a comparison. He is making a comparison between children and men. He says, be not children, but be men. So a child is immature. Has not come to maturity, but a man, an adult, he is mature. Thus, in men as opposed to children, in whom is malice more developed? In us as adults or in those little children? Oh, you see, they don't know anything about it yet. Malice, ill will toward their neighbor. It is so much more developed within our own heart. Or a child. Oh, they are squabbling with one another. And pretty soon they are playing and laughing with one another. And they have completely forgotten it. And we. Oh, then sometimes we are a little offended. And then we don't talk to each other maybe for months, years, maybe the rest of our life. Because that malice, that ill will to our neighbor, oh, that is so much more developed in an adult, in a man, than in a child. In malice, be ye children. What does Paul say? Let it not develop. Let that malice never mature in your heart. Let it always remain in your heart in that state of maturity as it is with those little children, that you would be childlike in malice. How does malice mature? It is in our disposition. It is in our evil nature. And then something happens. And then it comes into our thought, that ill will. And then in our thoughts, it matures. It matures. It grows. It festers. It continues. And we speak to someone else about it. And it grows even bigger and bigger and bigger if it is not rebuffed by us or by others, according to that word of God. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Why? Because do you know what we are capable of? Nathan could not give his land to Ahab. That was according to the word of God. Could not. But Ahab wanted it. And now that ill will, Ahab just let that fester and fester and fester in his mind and in his heart until he killed him. Until he killed him. That is what we read in the Bible. James says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is also with malice. And that is with all those sins that live and fester and work within our hearts. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. But let us sing a moment. 370. Stanzas 1 and 2, how good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. Such love is like anointing oil that consecrates for holy toil the servants of the Lord. 1 and 2 of 370.
Thank you.
malice be ye children, prevented from maturing as much as we are able, but in understanding be men. What does he say? Let understanding come to maturity. Let it grow. Children, do not yet understand the importance of things in this life. They think very unimportant things, things they play with, they think that they are very important. Thus, it takes maturity to discern between the value of things. And Paul makes there this comparison. He says, you value those tongues, but do you not value the understanding? Because the understanding is now the most important part. Thus, he says, you must be men in understanding. What is understanding? That is the one of the faculties of our soul. We have said that to you so many times. To know. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Then he does not speak about the knowledge and the understanding of all the things in this world, no. But he is speaking about the knowledge and the understanding, the intellect, or as a part of the soul, the spiritual understanding of God himself. What does Paul say? In understanding, be men. Let it mature, let it grow in you, that you would not be in understanding just always like a little child. And turn not the means that the Lord has given to you, the gifts that the Lord has given to you, into an obstacle for that understanding. Then you turn those gifts into a stumbling block. Or we may have the gift, congregation, of baptism. That is a gift of the Lord unto his own people. But do you know what we do with it? Or we may be so glad with baptism. But what does our form say? It says, not out of custom or superstition. Why do our fathers say that? Because it is so common. That it is done out of custom, that it is done out of superstition. What are they speaking about? Oh, they speak about the exact same thing that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. That comes out of the Word of God. Because what do we do? We do the same thing with our baptism as we do with the gift of tongues. We make it into an obstacle for ourselves. Why? Because we are raised up with our baptism. And we say, we go on in our life, we say, well, we do not even desire to come to church. It can be that we have no desire to read the Word of God. It can be that we have a desire only to do all the sin of the world. We take it all in. But all is so important that our children are baptized. Is that so? Yes, that is important. That is important. But then we will take our baptism and make it some kind of a status, as it were. Then it becomes to us nothing more than a curse. When we take our baptism and we say that we are now a child of the covenant, oh, then it becomes to us nothing more than an obstacle that a man says, well, I don't need any more. Or at least in the back of our mind, we think so. Oh, then the blessings of the Lord, they become a curse to us. What kind of a status does a man look for at the holy table of the Lord? Then it can be that we have a desire only for one thing in our life, and that is to come to that table, that I may be seen by the whole congregation that I am one of the people of the Lord. And we lack the understanding. We lack the spiritual understanding. In malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. By nature we understand so much, and we drink it in of this whole world. But you have no desire for the knowledge of God. We have no desire for the knowledge of ourselves. And that relation that is between us and Him, that is that the Lord condemns us because of our sin. Oh, let us be honest with one another. Have we now a desire in our heart to know that first thing that is in that form concerning baptism? That we with our children are conceived and born in sin? That the Lord is a holy God? That the Lord is a righteous God? That we have to stand before Him? Oh, we have no desire in our heart by nature to even meditate on these things. And that is now what changes parents in true regeneration. In true regeneration. If you are a little child, or if you are 100 years old, then read Psalms. Read Psalm 25. Read Psalm 119. And how many times then you will hear that psalmist. He says, "Oh Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy path. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me the way wherein I must go." Oh, he is burdened with his ignorance, not of the things of the world, but his ignorance of the Lord, his ignorance of the Word of God, his ignorance of himself. Are you burdened with your ignorance of yourself? Do you say, "Oh Lord, it is so much worse in my heart. So much worse in my heart than I know of. I am sure of it. Oh Lord, teach me." The thirst of the true church of God is for what? That is for edification. Edification, that they may be instructed, they may understand themselves, who God is, how I may come back to Him. Do we have such a thirst for a spiritual understanding? Oh, there is such a heritage that is left to us and our children, that is entrusted to us. But now that spiritual understanding that still has to become ours and our children's. Oh, there are so many riches that are contained in that sacrament. Even the blessed promise of the Lord. It is a promise concerning His seed. A seed that should serve Him. It is a promise concerning His only begotten Son. It is a promise concerning the salvation of His people. It is a sacrament that is showing the way unto an ignorant people. The way that they may receive the remission, or the desire of their heart, beginning in that day of that new birth, sin. Sin. Oh, then, It is a sacrament that is now showing that way with that water. Then there is a sign, even a visible sign. It is a means in the hands of the Lord to communicate, that we may understand, that we may receive a spiritual understanding, the people of the Lord. What is the way that sacrament is speaking about? Oh, it speaks about washing, the way of washing. Oh, that people do not know that way. They don't know that way. Why? Because that covenant of works that says it is a way of obedience. And then there is nothing about washing in that covenant of works. And thus, as long as we are under that broken covenant, then there is no way of washing. And now this is speaking about a new covenant and the way of the entrance, even as a child, the entrance into that new covenant. And what is that one? What is that way? Oh, that is the way of washing. The way of washing. There is so much to learn in that. What that way is. You know what the Lord says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. That is all. Is that not simple? Is that not simple? The whole salvation of the church of God that is now contained in that sign and in that seal. It is all in it. So simple and yet so difficult. So difficult for that people to understand. It is for them such a great mystery. They need to be shown it over and over and over again. That is a wonder sometimes that may take place in the midst of the congregation time and again. And then the people may look, they may observe, oh, they may see. That is the way. That is the way. Oh, what a burden is coming off the shoulders of that people. When they may see it, when they may receive insight into it, when the Lord gives them a little bit of that spiritual understanding for which that sacrament was given as a visible sign for a spiritual understanding. Not to give us a certain status so that we say we don't need anything else. No, that is getting in the way. Then we turn everything upside down. But when this people, or when they may receive a little of that spiritual understanding, oh, what a great peace then. What a great peace that they may receive in their heart. Do you have a desire to understand it? To understand it? Do you have a desire, fathers and mothers, to enter a little? To enter into the mysteries that are contained in those holy sacraments of the Lord? We see them time and again. And they are simple in their administration, but they are so rich. But they are so full of matter and of substance for those who need and desire that they may be washed, that they may be cleansed, that they may be forgiven all their iniquity. Oh, the more they understand, the more ignorant they become in themselves. and the more they desire to understand. Oh, they say, Lord, make me a man in understanding. Give a maturity in that understanding, because there is so much more than the Lord's people have already received. Oh, in glory, one day that understanding that will increase to something that is not known in this world. And the riches, they shall be magnified. What is all contained in one drop of that blood that may be applied unto me. That is what the Lord will receive the glory for forever and forever. Oh, in malice, congregation, in malice be ye children. But in understanding be men. Boys and girls, tomorrow we begin catechism, and today, this afternoon, for our young people. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, children? Maybe you say, oh, catechism begins again. Or are you glad? Oh, you say, catechism begins again. Why? Because there is a certain substance there. Because of the matter that your instructors will speak about, have you a desire, boys and girls, in the days of your youth, have you a desire to know of those things which will not pass away, that will go with us through death? Because that understanding that is part of our soul, along with the affections and the will that goes with it, never dies, does not need the brain. It's only an instrument for time. It goes with us. And when the body is dead, all that spiritual understanding, we read in God's word, then that body goes down, and then that spirit that returns unto God who gave it. Then we will know. Even you say the body is dead, but just as we are alive today, if we had to stand here before God, so real, same understanding that we have today, that will go with us. That we desire then, boys and girls, to be instructed in those things that are never going to die, that are always going to be with us, and understanding who you are, and understanding why you are the way that you are, an understanding of what is required of you by God Himself. Do not waste your time. You think you have so much time. I did too, when I was your age. And they told me from the pulpit I did not, but I thought I still did. And now, for a good part, I look back. And now more and more, then you see the truth of the Word of God. It is but a moment. It is but a moment. How quickly it is all passing away. Oh, seek then the understanding, fathers and mothers. Who is now responsible in the first place for your children? Do you seek that your children may have a spiritual understanding? A spiritual understanding which will be for their welfare. Oh, what shall it be to see our children on that day of judgment? The great expectations that we have built in their hearts for all of this world. And the great disappointment. And we will see them on that great judgment day. What will it be to see our children placed on that left hand of the Lord? What will we say unto ourselves? Oh, do we have a desire? Is that then evident in our life that we have a desire that our children would have received a spiritual understanding? Oh, seek fathers and mothers that your children may be instructed in that truth. You are responsible in the first place. The Lord has given them to you. We will help you. Try to help you. We will try to teach them. But you must in the first place know that your children may receive that knowledge. There are also some young couples that are recently married. Maybe you have some children, you are a young family. And we would like also a moment to ask you a question. Do you read? Do you read? Or would you rather go to gathering, a party, have a little drink with your friends? It's good to have friends. That is fine. But you are married. You know, the Apostle Paul, he says, when I was a child, then I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of you have stood here also with your children. They are young. But they are going, as we have heard in our forum, they are going to come to the years of discretion. So today you can teach them. You just read to them out of a little storybook maybe. But they are going to become older, all these young people. They're going to go to father and to mother. They're going to say, Father, what does this mean? I do not understand it. What are you going to say to them? Child, I don't understand it either. Is that what you're going to say to them? Because I've spent my time here and there and there and there, and I have not sought those things that are most important. And then I lack that spiritual understanding, even if I may have a natural understanding of these things. Oh, child, you must go to God's people. Yeah? Why? Because I miss it. Because I miss it. Oh, fathers and mothers, baptism. We make a promise. We cannot fulfill it. But what are we seeking? The Lord says, in malice be children. But in understanding be men. You say, I am not a good reader. I'm not a good reader. I will tell you something. If the Lord converts you, you will read. Then you will read. Because your heart will be seeking for understanding. It does not matter how much you read. Pay attention to what you read. Is that then truly based upon that word of God? Does it now foster an understanding of the way that the Lord is leading his own people, brethren? Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Oh, let us seek congregation to edify ourselves and to edify one another, that we may come to that true knowledge of God, that the Lord says that is eternal life, that we would be ashamed, that we would be embarrassed about our ignorance, because it is our guilt. The Lord does not make us ignorant. The Lord has created us in knowledge, the knowledge of Him, and now we lack it, not because of Him, but because of us. You say because of Adam, but it is given unto us. The Lord brought us without our knowledge under His truth, and we, are we not so slothful? Oh, that we would not allow our heritage, that we would not allow the scriptures, that we would not allow the sacraments to testify against us in that great day of days. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, blessed, Solomon says, he speaks about wisdom. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall receive the favor of the Lord. But whoso sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All those that hate me love death. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us of that one thing that is needful, that we may put away everything else, that we may seek thee with all our hearts. O, give us in malice truly to be children, and in understanding to be men. Wilt thou go with us, humble us under thy gifts this day, bless and sanctify word and sacrament, and be with us in the week to come, in the many labors of our hands, in the midst of this world, in our homes, in the midst of thy church, in catechism, confession classes, in the bringing of thy word, thy servant who hopes to be here in this area, the classes that hopes to meet, to finish its business, Lord, wilt thou be on the right and on the left, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 325, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1, 2, and 3, and we'll sing 4 if it's necessary for the collection. 1, 2, and 3. Of 325. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.